Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. NFL free agency is creeping up and the rumors process is starting to kick up. We'll go around the NFL coming up at 11 o'clock. Mike Fisher is going to join us at 11:20. Free agency itself, where unrestricted free agents from other teams can sign, that officially starts March 13th, but teams trying to get deals done with their own players right now. We are now in the franchise tag window, so up until March 5th, teams can apply the tag. So it is a very, very busy time around the NFL, and combine starting tomorrow.
Yeah, which means people will like show up and stuff.
Yes, they'll show up and work out and get in their underwear, and then they're, the bosses and stuff, the front office guys, those dudes are going to be hanging out in the sidelines talking trades, talking signings, talking to agents.
We have to wait 2 or 3 or 4 days before people start getting on the field and having a good time. But so right now, people just kind of land their plane and they show up and they talk to people, and then eventually they'll take their shirts off for wonderful pictures and
they'll start lifting weights.
Then we'll start partying.
Pumping iron.
Yeah.
Good read here on bloggingtheboys.com as we wait, though, digest how things have gone up until this point. And this is about the time in the offseason where some of the metrics folks can really dig in and challenge narratives or, you know, explain things that they had asserted previously. Where we go to here is an article, bloggingtheboys.com. Their headline, maybe Zeke isn't the right running back for the Cowboys. That's an interesting premise. And they base it off of the premises. Pro Football Focus ranked Zeke at the end of the season the 30th
that was funny.
Most efficient running back in the NFL this year, or 30th best. I'm not sure what the ranking was.
It's a great website for stats. It's not a great website for grades.
So they took, big hits for that. And they've been getting killed for it. So they did an article to explain, hey, here was our thinking on it. Take it for what it's worth. Zeke was 18th in the NFL in yards per carry. You look at that. And they adjusted for strength of schedule and the opponent's defense and the front and all of that. And you know, the Cowboys had a down year blocking. They kind of adjusted for that and the situation Zeke was running into. And it didn't help them much. Take it for what it's worth, you know, when it comes to grades and all that. They said the Cowboys still had the 6th best blocking. I guess Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. And they weren't playing against great run defenses.
Oh, so they're legitimately saying that Zeke wasn't good.
They're saying that
we blocked better than he ran.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That is one of the assertions. And as part of the article, and I think you'll agree with this, they grab a quote from the Pro Football Focus thing. And it says, in our article on the replaceability of running backs in the NFL, we show that the skill of the running back, as defined by grades above or below average, does not predict play-by-play rushing success once you adjust for situation, offensive line grades, run concept, and the number of defensive men in the box. They're essentially saying, in the NFL, all these running backs are so good, you can't get a tangible difference. It's the CJ Anderson to Todd Gurley thing. Like, the difference isn't very much. So when you're looking at, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and he is doing all these wonderful things on the field and getting the dirty yards and overcoming yards after contact and everything, they're like, sure, you can see it. It shows up. But it's just not that much different than what any other back in the NFL would provide you.
When did that change? Because Emmitt didn't play, Cowboys sucked.
Right.
Emmitt played, Cowboys were champions.
Entire game plans were built around having a franchise
Walter Payton,
running back.
Right? Yeah. Walter Payton, you know, he would give Chicago a chance. If he wasn't in the game, they would lose by 20 points, maybe 40 points, because they were just not a good
organization. I think it goes to how they protected the quarterbacks. That would be my thought. Like, the rules, maybe when Brady got the ACL tear.
Yeah.
That could be a line, like, here's where the NFL said. And they've made the passing game so efficient now that it's all about passing to set up these situations where your running back has an awesome opportunity to just, here you go. They're thinking pass. Take your free 5 yards. Because that's what the game has become with them. At least, correct me if I'm wrong, but they've made passing it efficiently so easy to do that now running it is only good when you've backed them up so much with your passing game.
Yeah, when they beg you to run it, that's when you run it, and then it doesn't matter who runs it, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know. To answer Mike's question, I don't know. It's really interesting because you look back and you can talk about Walter Payton and what happened when Emmitt wasn't with the Cowboys, and I'd like to think that would have balanced out. Because to me, the greatest running back I've ever seen was Barry Sanders, and his teams, generally speaking, were awful. They were terrible. They had the best runner that I've ever watched, and they couldn't do anything, but he had great success. So
I mean, their crowning achievement might have been beating the Cowboys in the playoffs in, what, 91 or something like that?
So I don't know exactly when it changed, but at some point when it became so clearly a passing league, it has definitely changed because we're watching the best running backs in football either get hurt or hold out or do whatever, and their offenses don't change. Todd Gurley is not the engine that makes the Rams go.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell was not the engine that made the Steelers go. It's the quarterback.
So is it fundamentally a bad strategy for the NFL, or do they just not have a good enough passer to put Zeke in those situations?
I think that's what got Scott Linehan fired, because I think Scott Linehan coached in a way that said, my quarterback's not good enough. That's why we're going to do this way. That's just what I think. I don't know. I've never talked to Scott Linehan about it. But that's the only thing that makes sense, that in a world where the Cowboys have an analytics department, they're aware that running on second and 10 is dumb. They're aware that running however often they run on first and 10 is bad. They have the numbers. It says we have a higher success rate, more yards per play, all these things when we throw. They know it. It's facts, but they ignore it and hand the ball off.
No, I'm not.
The only way you can do that is if you're saying, I don't trust my quarterback. And that's what this next year has to be all about. It has to be all about finding out what happens if we just trust what the numbers say to do. The numbers say we should throw the ball. We're going to throw the ball. We'll hand it off when we're supposed to hand it off. And not all the time. There is obviously room for misdirection and fooling your opponent. But just, you know, let what is going on in the NFL and even on your individual team dictate what you do, because you need to find out, should you be limiting your quarterback? And if you should be limiting your quarterback, you should be looking for a new quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you shouldn't be limiting your quarterback, well, then congrats. Here's your massive check.
They've made it so easy to pass, or not easy, because there's still only 20 guys that can do a really good job at it in today's game. But I think what Dak showed you in the second half of the season should have given you tremendous confidence that Dak was ready to take the next step. And then he proved it in week 17, and Linehan, you know, goes back to ignoring that through the playoff game. So then here would be my next question. If you could get that level of passing, now you're using Zeke in optimal situations. At that point, it's still not justified to spend that money to keep him, right? Because now you've created a situation where enter name of third or fourth round pick could come in and probably do very close to the same job.
And that is the rationale behind not paying him. It's also the rationale behind not picking him.
If you're managing your offense correctly, you don't need a running back that thrives in the dirty yard situations.
Correct. And yet still so many teams can't turn it down. When the Rams had an opportunity to pick Todd Gurley, it was too much to say no to because he's so good. When the Giants had an opportunity to draft Saquon Barkley, he's so good, we got to do it. The New England Patriots, who couldn't care less about running back, if you do a good job at running back for them, you leave because they're not going to pay you. They picked a first-round running back last year in Sony Michel and then proceeded to give the ball to James White all the time. Like, teams can't turn it down. They can't turn it down when there's a talent available, especially if they feel like it's the safe pick. Like for the Cowboys, that was the safe pick. We know we can block. We know we're going to run it. Let's get the best runner we can.
Yeah.
This makes perfect sense.
And I thought it was worth a shot at the time to see, hey, how much could this work against this defense that's soft up the middle and geared to stop the pass? And, you know, I think not being able to hit the quarterback, not being able to make him scared. I mean, we've seen what it's done to the passer ratings now. They're through the roof. I mean, you go back to the 90s. What's Dak's passer rating looking like in that league? 75? 72?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
if you just take what he has, he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. If he comes into the league in 1990, you know, he's better than every quarterback we've ever seen in our lifetime. If you just take his stats, what he's doing today, and just put it in that era.
Okay, earlier we were talking about how it's the 30-year anniversary of Jerry Jones purchasing the Cowboys. Some really cool stories coming out about it. Mr. Jones here, quote, "My lust for a piece of the NFL left me blindly intoxicated when buying the Cowboys." I love this idea that he was leveraged up to his eyeballs and he was getting credit cards declined. He loves that narrative that I took this huge risk, you know, and I put it all on the line. Was the NFL in that bad a shape that it could have been blown up? I mean, it was bad, and they were operating at a loss. What was it, $1 million a month? I get all that, but I just think that was because the Cowboys themselves were being run horribly. I never thought of the NFL, and they were coming out of the strike. I never thought of them as being, you know, that much. But hey, I'll take Jerry's word for it. I was only 12 years old at the time.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like I don't have an awareness of the NFL before TV money.
Yeah.
So in my life, the NFL just gets all the money they want. They just print it. I can't imagine being a guy and what went into the decision of, is this worth $140 million?
Yeah.
That's what he had to think of.
And I know this is just peanuts here, but I know, like, through my father-in-law, the old regime of the Dallas Cowboys before Jerry Jones, if you had a Lions Club, the Duncanville Lions Club, you were able to go out to Texas Stadium and sell, like, kind of Cowboys gear.
Oh, really?
And you were able to kind of do some things that, like, when Jerry took over, Jerry's like, no.
Yeah.
And I know, like, for my father-in-law and people like that that had Lions clubs and stuff like this that the Cowboys kind of supported and let them do some things for free so they could make money.
Oh.
Jerry was like, no.
The business.
That's never happening again.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, one which of the obviously reasons we're ticked losing. Off some community people, but it was like, sure. It makes sense now from a financial standpoint of, no, everything's going to be sold through me. If you want to do this, I might look into it. You're going to have to pay me a premium to be around the stadium on game day to sell any type of product.
Among the reasons that since he bought that, as Mike Florio pointed out earlier, he's seen his investment multiply by nearly 35 times the purchase price, a 35-time appreciation. That's pretty spectacular. And, yeah, credit Jerry Jones, right, because it was his business acumen.
Yeah.
But I also think he walked into such a dumpster fire that with some legit business skills, he had repaired that in not too short order. Like, he recognized the broken down piece of junk house that was sitting on $1 billion real estate, I think.
And realized he had bought the number one marketing team in the United States of America. Now, I think the Yankees would have an argument there and maybe a few other teams. But he's like, you know what? F you, NFL. We're bigger than the NFL. Our logo is bigger than the NFL logo. I'm going to go get Nike. I'm going to go get Pepsi, and I'm going to do it all on my own. And I'm not doing it for the NFL. I'm doing it for only me, my product, the Dallas Cowboys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.